What's up, traders? Welcome to the Day Trading Show. I've got another in-person podcast for you today. This time, I'm sitting down with Clay Hodges. Clay is a representative from Top One, just like Matt Morris was. So this is kind of like a back-to-back where you got to hear Matt's story, got to hear a little bit about his background in the previous episode. And today, we're going to talk to Clay about his background, his beliefs, how he got into trading. His story is just as incredible as Matt's, from basically, not basically, to legitimately being dead due to a drug overdose behind a Walmart bathroom toilet, to now becoming the face of Top One, a successful trader, successful trading coach, and everything that you guys know Clay for being. So stay through the episode. You guys are going to love this. I've got a couple special promos in this episode for you too, so make sure you're listening closely. I appreciate you guys always. Make sure you're subscribed. Let's get into the podcast.
But it wasn't even as bad as it was in, you know, that picture in Colorado, whereas like literally on, well, I was found dead in behind a toilet in Walmart.
Really?
Yeah, that's where.
Heart not beating.
Yeah, no, the Narcan, you know, like that scene. And
how did trading come into the picture?
But that's exactly how it came in, right? So like
who showed it to you first?
Network marketing.
Aha. Uh-huh,
right? But it was like the precursor to IML. It was this company called Forex Entourage.
Are you predominantly trading Forex pairs right now? Is that mainly what you're focused on?
Yeah, mostly the majors.
Okay.
Specifically because I have a bot that I made. So it basically takes trades off a Bollinger Band without getting into details of it. Prop firm trading is, the way I see it, is like its own strategy. You need to have a strategy to pass the accounts that might look different if you're trading your own capital,
right,
or
and
your
just
own
trying
money.
To grow your own money.
Yeah, totally.
What's harder, shaking drugs loose or becoming successful in trading? Top One Trader is the sponsor of today's video. If you're looking to get funded, especially if you're in the US, check out Top One Trader. There's a link in the description to save 20% off any funding challenge you take with them, and you can use it as many times as you'd like. So thank you to Top One for being the sponsor of today's video. Now let's get back to it. All right, traders, we are back in the studio, this time with the other face of Top One Trader. We've got Clay Hodges sitting down with me today. We're going to talk about his background, how he got into trading, and all that fun stuff. Again, we have a group podcast between me, Clay, and Matt that you guys are going to love. That's going to be solely focused on Top One Trader and how they are going to become one of the most popular, one of the most successful, really focusing on helping traders, one of the best firms for retail guys in 2024. So stay tuned for that. But today, we're talking about Clay. So Clay, it's good to have you here, bro. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So this is cool because me and Clay have already met in person. Today was like our second time. We already broke bread a couple times. So I feel like we're getting to know each other pretty well. He already wants to start a politics podcast with me. So everybody brace yourselves. We're going to have, what did we call it? Risk on, risk off.
I thought that'd be a cool name. Risk on, risk off. And then talk about how like everything happening in the world, the news could potentially affect the markets or...
So let me ask you, this isn't the first question I was going to start with.
Okay, all right, we're already off-kilter.
We're off-kilter, it's fine. Welcome to the show, bro, yeah. That's how I roll. Why do you care about politics, just being a trader?
Oh, man. Well, on one level, just kind of like, what reality TV are you going to tune into, right? Reality TV on the television, it's all like theatrics in one way. As a trader, I think it just, I'm not like a fundamentals guy so much beyond like, hey, we got inflation data or what's the Fed going to do? But I think it's important to know what's going on or at least have an idea, especially if we are being bamboozled in a lot of different ways and things aren't the same as when we were kids, you know?
So what's motivating you to be vocal about your opinions? Because I think a lot of people in your position and a lot of people even that probably see you and me make, you know, political comments online, they tell us, stay in your lane, stick to trading, stop talking to me about this stuff. But you don't. You keep talking about it. You keep bringing it up. So what's motivating you to stay on the politics? And why do you have such strong beliefs when a lot of people don't nowadays?
Yeah, you know, I think if you see something is true, then it's not a belief, right? So you can only stick your head in the sand so long. And, you know, for me, I think, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, went to liberal arts school in Colorado and, you know, I don't lean one way or the other. It's just like common sense.
So what you're saying when you say if you see something that's true, you're saying if you just believe what the narrative is being said, if you don't question things, that's what you're saying is stupid.
I'm saying if I believe something is true and it is, then like, you know, I have to speak up
with it, you know, because like...
Because it's a part of who you are.
Right.
It's a part of your identity.
Right. So like for COVID, when it happened, for the first like 2-3 weeks, I was like, holy shit, this is crazy. I got to make sure my mom's inside. And I was super scared. And then everything started to like unfold and become fishy. And it's just like, okay, you know, flatten the curve. And it's 2 months later, like what's going on? And then everybody's got to get
The Jabberoni.
Jabberuski, yep. Right? So like,
Future. Remember Future and Drake made that song where he was like, "I'm too sexy for the jab." You remember that?
No.
Yeah, that "I'm too sexy" song with Drake and Future. He even says in that song, "I'm too sexy for that jab."
So
the narrative did change.
They didn't buy.
Oh yeah, brother. I mean, maybe Drake did because he's Canadian and they're super liberal up there. But, yeah, but no, I don't think so.
Totalitarian nightmare now.
Right. Literally. Yeah. So, and it's funny you bring that up though. Now the mainstream narrative just came out. CNN the other day, 6 feet social distancing was full of shit. It had no scientific basis. They were just hoping for the best.
And which, you know, if we weren't doing that 2 years ago, then you're like a fucking outlaw.
Right. Literally. So literally they were going to put you in jail for getting too close to it.
Yeah. Or if you wanted to go like paddleboarding in California or whatever.
Right. Get out of here.
The cops are waiting for you at the beach or whatever.
They filled the skate park in Santa Monica with sand.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's horrible.
So when did you leave Colorado? Why did you leave Colorado?
Man, I left Colorado because of raging drug addiction.
Well, that was what I wanted to do to start this podcast. Yeah. Let's talk about, because I know you posted this morning in the holding cell in Gunnison on Xanax, fentanyl.
Yeah.
What else?
Everything. Anything I could get my hands on, but mostly like opiates.
Was that the bottom for you?
No.
Not even in the holding cell?
I think from that perspective, only circumstantial consequences are only like a bottom. You get, because you can always go further, right? And like if it were like circumstances that would create a bottom for anybody, even it to relate it back to trading, like, you know, you blow however many accounts and then buy a new one, but until you feel like an emptiness inside, are you really gonna like make a change?
You have to hit the bottom.
Right. Yeah. So I mean for sure at the time, what brought that about, I was like in an altercation with a ex-girlfriend. It's a long story, right? Okay. But like, so it's basically like assaulted outside of a bar in Colorado. Now that was pretty close to bottom. Hit the table.
You're good.
But yeah, no, that wasn't the bottom. The bottom that I had was actually 4 years later. Wow. And it was when COVID started. And I was actually, so I was back. I haven't really talked about this much, but
why we're here.
Yeah. Exactly. I was back in, I was living in Nashville. COVID happened. I went up to Kentucky, where I'm from, which, you know, and Matt and I were talking about, you know, my experience. You hear about fentanyl and everything else, but like when I grew up, I was like firsthand experienced the opioid epidemic, like growing up in rural Kentucky. And literally at 16, it was the first time I did like an Oxycontin, right? So no kid should be...
For recreation, not
for recreation. Yeah, wow. Yeah, for recreation. I mean, because they were everywhere. And
like that bad?
Yeah, just because you'd have these things in like Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, Missouri, you know, pill mills where, you know, there'd be walk-in pain clinics where you could give the doctor, you could say, have like some bogus, you know, MRI or whatever, go in, give them that so it looks official, and then... you know, pay them cash, $500, and walk out with like a script of 180 oxys or whatever. So,
wow.
Yeah. So anyways, they were everywhere. Wow. Long story short. Okay. And so that bottom came, I was back in and it seemed like everything was going to hell in a handbasket when COVID started. And I was up there thinking I was going to take care of my parents cause there's this big virus going on. And yeah, so actually it relapsed for a short amount of time, ran into an old friend who was going to the methadone clinic. And so, but it wasn't even as bad as it was in, you know, that picture in Colorado, where I was like literally I was found dead behind a toilet in Walmart.
Really?
Yeah. That's
where heart not beating.
Yeah. No, the Narcan, you know, like that scene in Pulp Fiction and stuff, and wow. Narcan's everywhere. So you're from like Philly anyways.
Well, now, bro, I mean, now they're saving people left and right with Narcan up there.
Yeah. So I was like right at the, thank God that fentanyl was just now coming on the scene when I was getting better.
Yeah,
right?
Bro, because imagine if it would be now. Now people are dropping dead from taking fentanyl.
Yeah, or but they don't even know what it is. They're 15 and they're in high school and they want to take like a X pill or whatever and it has fentanyl in it.
And they die.
Yeah, it's tragic, man.
So. And it always seems to be like that part of the country too. West Virginia, the Tennessee, Kentucky. It seems like those areas of the country were abnormally affected by pills.
Yeah, so I mean, I have a philosophy about that.
Let's
too.
Go.
Are you ready for this?
Yes.
So how – okay, so let me ask you this. What is the demographic predominantly of, you know, West Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee?
Poor white people.
Yeah, or middle class.
Yeah.
But conservative, Christian, Caucasian.
Yeah.
What percentage of those people do you think would go along with the current
five.
Narrative or agenda?
Five.
Ten. Right.
Very small. So you think they wanted to kill them?
Yeah. I think how else would – well – yes, that bring down that demographic, and then also control that population, in the exact same way they controlled, you know, Compton and with or whatever, you know, crack cocaine in '80s and '90s, and which has been proven that was like, you know, the CIA and everything else.
So. Oh yeah, oh, Barry Seal. Tom Cruise played the dude in a movie that was running drugs for the CIA, and some people still want to say the CIA wasn't running drugs.
Yeah.
There's a movie about it with Tom Cruise.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyways, I think...
I say that as if that's, like, the arbiter of truth. It's like, oh, my God, Tom Cruise did. It has to be true.
Man, he got a lot of flack, and it's almost like he's cool again after that most recent recent Top Gun.
Well, they're making another one. Did you hear Top Gun 3 is coming out?
Nice.
Yep, they're going to do it. And there's a whole other Mission Impossible. He's a badass. I love Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's digress away from Tom Cruise. So that theory, I'm sure, is shared by other people, bro, especially people.
I've heard Tucker talk about it, PBD as well.
Those are big names.
But not really. So, like, but not connecting the dots.
Okay.
Because, I think so. Because you couldn't just release fentanyl into, man, we went hard on this podcast. But yeah, you couldn't just like come in and release fentanyl.
No.
Right? So you had to work people up and start with Percocets, Oxys, Roxycodone.
Yeah.
And then from there,
it progresses.
Right. And then now it's to the point where, I mean, you couldn't even go to San Francisco and or Philly or, you know, I wouldn't want to go downtown there, right?
No.
So, yeah, but anyways.
Yeah. So that's my
theory about it because like
I'm sure we're going to get a couple of theories out of
this
podcast.
How else would you control a population and, you know, most or
well,
most...
you could make the argument, bro, that they're controlling that the entire American population by feeding us fast food and putting up McDonald's everywhere and making us fat and sick.
That's just one of the many ways, right? There's not going to be all the eggs in one basket. How can you, you can control one section of the population with the type of, you know, music and culture that they consume, which is, you know, really just toxic or whatever else, in the same way that you can control people with food or the water they drink or, you
know.
That's
what I'm saying. So what would you say if I had to ask you, describe to me the type of government that you think America operates under. What's your answer to that?
I would say communist.
You think so?
Yeah, for sure.
Not oligarchy, not plutocracy. Those are words you hear thrown out. Not a big corporation.
Well, I think it's like a new kind.
Okay, tell me why.
Well, more globalist, global communism type like agenda.
Yes.
That being like herded towards.
Sure.
But where instead of it more being like government controlled, the government's very small in the grand scheme.
But see, I'll disagree with you on this one because I can't agree with you on all your things.
Well, so the government is small in the scope of something like BlackRock.
Sure.
Or corporate. So it's more of like a corporate
who has the influence.
Right. So then they are the ones that, you know, do like.
But here's why I disagree. You're running top one. You and Matt have the freedom to come into America. So we can't be that communist because if we were, the government would be like, well, we need a piece of it, which you could argue me that they do. They take it through taxes and things like that, right?
Yeah, so, and like, hey, it's hard to do business in the U.S.
Oh, yeah, especially in certain states like California and stuff, right? Like it's very difficult.
Or with different regulations and everything
else.
That's
what I mean. Yeah,
totally.
Whether it's from tax or regulation, certain states are definitely more difficult to do business in versus if you go out to like Wyoming, like you could basically do whatever you want out there.
Yeah, or even just looking at it as like finding a broker in the United States is much more difficult than, say, if you lived in Australia or the U.K. or whatever.
So how did you go from dead behind a toilet in Walmart, addicted to drugs, to now running this prop firm with Matt?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's definitely like
a... There's a lot in between.
Yeah, I'm sure. For sure. So, you know, it didn't... Like, I was you know, partying. At first, it was like fun with all that. And so I went to school in Colorado. I didn't finish. I was working on the mountain as a ski instructor in the winter, fly fishing guide in the summer. And so that was like, you know, my existence, awesome. But very party life,
right.
Which was cool. But before that, prior to that, in 2012, my brother and I, that was when I first started to get clean. So then I would have times of sobriety and, you know, be in different programs and different like 12 steps groups. It would save my life for sure. But my brother and I opened a juice bar in Nashville, and that was our first business, Juice Brothers.
Wow.
Which my brother works with me in Top One, Todd. He's one of the founders too. And so like, it's always been an entrepreneur. So then I'm, you know, in a lot of ways working out in Colorado as a ski instructor, you are, cause you bring in clients, you build a good relationship with them, and then they come back next year and they're like, oh yeah, my kid's had so much fun with Clay, or like, he's a ripping skier. I want to go out with him on the mountain. And I just make sure everybody had a good time. And so built up a clientele list that way. But, you know, it was only sustainable for so long.
Sure.
And then eventually after that episode happened, you know, that's when I moved back to Nashville, got more very dedicated into yoga, spirituality, meditation, that type of stuff. And then realized that I would do whatever it takes to find my own freedom and kind of write a life of my own design. And that's it.
How did trading come into the picture?
But that's exactly how it came in. Right. So like
who showed it to you first?
Network marketing.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Right. But it was like the precursor to IML is this company called Forex Entourage.
Right. I remember you telling me about this a little bit.
Yeah.
So you find them online, just on Instagram or Facebook or something?
Yeah, the same way most people find, you know, like through a profit post that surely was fake. Demo profits, but you're like, holy shit, it made like $6,000 or whatever. So that's how I got into it. And then I was like, wow, I'm actually kind of good with this. I can recognize patterns really well, which is one of my strong suits. I'm good at like seeing trends, recognizing patterns, you know, thinking strategically in a lot of ways. But so then I just kind of dedicated myself to that. I was teaching yoga. I was also working construction during the day in Nashville because I was clean. I'd gone to treatment, lived in a halfway house. I mean, I was home. Well, not, I lived in a halfway house and then did construction, got a job with the other dude who was in recovery, and was studying trading at night.
That's awesome. Being someone who has come from what some people would say, I'm sure, is very difficult of a situation to be addicted to drugs, not having a real career path, not having a direction in life, to also coming out of that and then trying something else very difficult, which is trading, to now having been successful with your trading, with your payouts, and now starting Top One. What's harder? Shaking drugs loose or becoming successful in trading?
Man, that's a good question.
That was my original first question.
Okay, yeah.
We kind of tailed off into some pill farm stuff. Bringing
it back to that. Yeah, no, for sure, man. I think it's all the same. It's the same commitment to whatever else because, like, you know, you have to hit some sort of bottom or traumatic experience or something else where you're like, man, I have to do something different. So I think trading is super similar in that way, whether it's get a coach or get
a... I was going to say, what about community? Like the community
get a coach or, you know, and then, or get a sponsor and like, say if it was like AA or NA or type, you know, 12-step mm-hmm. group or whatever. Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah, no, that's a good question, man. I think there's a ton of similarities, but really, you know, for me, it's more like a spiritual baseline anyways, that it's like, if I can stay connected and stay, you know, committed to my own self-growth, then in a lot of ways, then everything else will take care of itself.
For sure. You mentioned spirituality. You mentioned yoga. Mm-hmm. We can get into that a little bit. I know you like hot yoga.
I do.
I'm a big fan as well. How does your beliefs, and I want to get into some of them. I'm going to probably ask you if we have Chinese bases on the dark side of the moon in a minute. How does some of your conspiracy type, let's call it unconventional, non-mainstream beliefs, how do they impact your decision-making as a trader today?
Like what, in terms of?
Even the frame of thinking. Think about it. Like what I'm saying is, if you want
to... Well, I think to be a trader an entrepreneur, you have to be somebody that already thinks outside. Questions the agenda, thinks outside the box. Like, oh yeah, okay, like you and Matt were talking about on your old podcast, like... there's a 9-to-5 group, and then there's the other group that's like, man, there's got to be another way,
yeah.
right? So in the exact same way, you can believe the things that are being force-fed down our throat, which are clearly lies at this point. I'm sorry, but if you don't see that,
pull your head out of your ass.
That's a serious issue, right? So like, if you're, you know, you can either believe that or you can choose to question it. And I think living in a place of, hey, this is the way, where you just believe or take everything and have these super. So it might sound like I have very convicted beliefs, but I'm more in the camp of, dude, I don't know shit.
Right.
I don't know.
I know it's not maybe what you're telling me. It is right. certainly supposed right. to be.
Yeah,
I think that's exactly. where you and me are. That's what made us click. Is like, yeah, we both totally. Are like, yeah, I might have a different idea than you.
Yeah.
But the difference is like, I'm not locked in on my idea
at all.
Right.
Nobody knows what the hell's going on.
Nobody knows what's going on. The
one person that does is like, the guy should just be like, okay, well.
Dude, and especially nowadays, I feel yeah. even more like I saw on a podcast recently, like with NFL players, they're talking about, is the earth flat or not? So you have all these people
yeah, that's
with.
Going mainstream.
It's going
now.
Mainstream, bro. Flat earth is officially like mainstream if you're on TikTok or Twitter or whatever, yeah. which is.
It's a great way to get views.
It's a great way to get views, which why we're going to talk about it. No, I'm just kidding. But, well, but I mean, we probably should.
It's a possibility.
In the sense of the original question about like how these beliefs shape your trading.
Yeah.
Do you find that because you're more of a contrarian guy outside of trading that you tend to be a more like reversal type trader, not a trend trader?
No, I've tried that.
Okay.
For
tell
sure.
me. That yeah. Tell
no,
me what you mean.
I'm more of a trend trader. So, you know, I identify long-term trend on a 4-hour, 1-day, and 2-day time frame. Typically, just for I have like a way better win rate on the sell side. So recognize the downtrend and then short it in the direction of the overall trend, generally to like a 78.6 or 86.3. Yeah.
Is this an Elliott Wave type trading?
Kind of. Well, so you know what's the guy's name? Is Dr. Paul or
he was like David Paul.
David Paul, and I think he just passed away
last year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyways, I saw
he died in the same like within the same month my dad passed, he passed, and this other guy I used to trade with, Rob Smith, passed. RIP to all three. All yeah. within a month, bro.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah. There was a lot of people that died in that month. We're just trying to get out of July last year.
Dude, I feel that.
You know how it is, bro, when the moon and Venus, bro, they're
yeah,
in the
retrograde, got some
solar flares killing everybody, bro.
Sure.
I'm just trying to get out of the month.
Totally.
Sorry, keep going.
No. So I saw it was an interview with him, and he said the exact same thing about if he were to recommend a strategy, a shorter term strategy, it would be that where it turns out that's actually a Gartley pattern.
Really?
He calls it, it's a Gartley 222. Apparently, it's on page 222.
Okay,
you can check me on this. 220 of William H. Gartley, right?
Yeah. He wrote a huge textbook.
So it's in page 222 of that, and that's the exact same setup I'm talking about. So because I have a philosophy, and I've just been thinking about it a lot, run the play, right?
Tell me what that means.
Run the play means that you don't have to like. Okay, so say it's 5 seconds left, right? Michael Jordan, you're 93 bulls. Do you think there's one play that they're like, there's 5 seconds left?
Oh,
are they
course.
Even debating what play they're going to do?
Not a chance, bro.
Right.
They practiced it 3 weeks ago. They've known it for months.
Right. That is the play. And as a trader, all you need is to be able to run the play, a play, like for you, A2.
Right. So this is like what Bellafiore calls one good trade.
Yeah, totally. For sure. And so then that way, if you have the play, right, like TradeZilla has their playbook, you can make it.
Yeah.
If you have the play, whatever that is, what like you know, mine that I'm telling you about. So if I'm looking to identify this this longer term trend, and then I'm seeing this pullback on a 4-hour time frame start to happen, I can anticipate it because my goal is to run the play rather than to place winning trades. Of course, you want to place winning trades, but letting it set up so the players get into play, so I can actually run the play and execute on it. So it's something that has helped me a ton recently because then I can just focus on two. I just need to be able to recognize that when it's setting up, let it set up, which, you know, one of my big problems trading is entering early.
Patience.
Yeah, totally. And so that's one of the hardest parts. So then letting it actually the trend roll over itself and start to continue and then just run from there, run the play. So recognizing the play, letting it set up, and then once the play is happening, learning how to milk it for all it's worth through risk reward.
How many trades a week are you taking?
Probably, it depends if the setup's there. So this past one, I was a losing week for me because everything when we're shooting this was in just super range bound, super range bound. Because I guess we had NFP last week, so there's some big moves on the dollar, and then so yeah, I was trying to do short pound Swiss, and it didn't roll over. So
I find that pound Swiss tends to chop sometimes.
Dude, every time I try to trade Swiss pairs,
they are choppy.
Yeah, exactly.
Which,
exactly.
If you break down the essence of a Forex pair, and this is where you get into, I think, people talking about things that they don't fully understand. From my understanding, is that these Forex pairs are trading often in a range of price for each cross pair,
right,
for each, you know, exchange cross, that big banks are agreeing upon. Hey, we're going to trade Euro CHF or USD CHF between 94 and 98 this year, and that's like a 400-point range or whatever it may be. I'm just picking random numbers, right? And they move it between those ranges. And often as it moves in that range, there will be consolidation areas. Price will move to a certain level, consolidate, move to another level, retrace back to the bottom of that, so on and so forth. That was one of the reasons that turned me off of trading Forex. Are you predominantly trading Forex pairs right now? Is that mainly what you're focused on?
Yeah, mostly the majors.
Okay.
Specifically because I have a bot that I made, so it basically takes trades off a Bollinger Band without getting into details of it. And so, like, the way the spreads are, or, you know, the pips are on, say, Bitcoin or indices is different. Yeah. And I find it's more cyclical rather than, you know, NAS or whatever.
Do you believe in the idea of only looking at a few Forex pairs and getting really good at those, or do you like to look at the wide market and find a play?
Well, I believe in the play.
Okay.
For me.
But can that play come on multiple assets? Like,
yeah, for sure. So, like, so for your question of, like, how many trades are you placing a week,
yeah,
if I could find 2 4-hour plays in a week and then get 3 setups off of each one, then and add a 1-3 risk reward, I mean, that would be awesome.
Would you ever go to a pair that you normally don't look at and say, nothing is presenting for me on my main pairs, I'm going to go look at dollar to the South African rand and go see if I
too big of spreads and too, I don't.
So it's got to be tradable.
Yeah, for sure. More just the majors.
Sure.
And like crosses. I do like pound Aussie, pound New Zealand, Euro Aussie because of the pip range.
So let's get into the nitty then of it.
All right.
What is your opinion on ICT?
The sponsor of this video is ASFX TV. Now, if you haven't heard me talk about ASFX TV before, maybe you're living under a rock, it's our live streaming platform that allows you to trade with me and our team of funded full-time traders all week long. We offer 2 streams per day, London session and New York session, where you can follow along, take trades with us, show us your trades if you're doing something different, use the live chat to ask for feedback. It's basically a virtual trading room where you can get real feedback from real traders. So click the link down below, check out the 3-day free trial, and I'll see you on the next stream.
Man, if it works for some people.
It's got to be working for somebody because yeah, the dude's got almost a million subscribers.
So like, exactly with what I said, like with my setup.
He has a setup. He has a
price. You know, so price, when it's pulling back to that 78.6, 86.3 retracement, generally to some sort of order block or supply zone. And so, you know, it's however you want to market that.
Do you believe that he was really kidnapped by the market makers and they told him the story?
I haven't been through the whole training, so I don't know.
That's his marketing story.
I know. I've seen that on, like, podcasts, so I have a crazy-ass story, too, so.
Yeah, you do, but yours is much more believable.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I don't know if he was kidnapped by it, taken to Guantanamo.
But here like, we are talking about it. So
waterboarded. Yeah, right. He did a great job of.
As they're waterboarding him, they're telling him, you're going to buy on the pullback. Right. You got it?
Yeah,
you know
exactly
what I'm saying, bro?
Exactly.
Like, I don't know
about
that.
Yeah. Where's the order block?
Right. Tell us where it is. Yeah, so.
So I always thought it was funny when I was learning about that part because it was like imbalances being closed in the market and it just seemed very. But hey, I mean, I'm conspiratorial, right?
Right. So, like, so you can't say we don't?
Right.
Are we sure? No.
Yeah.
No one's sure except him. He's the only one that's going to know for sure. But
yeah,
we can have our opinions about the facts and hold a loose belief about
it. So, I mean, it's very people are fanatical about it, you know? So, I mean,
very fanatical. To the point where if we say anything too negative about it, they'll probably
there'll be some comments.
There'll be
on
comments
here.
On here.
Right. For sure.
I can't believe you even brought him up. You don't deserve to speak about him. That's what they'll say, bro.
Yeah, and so
isn't
I mean,
that crazy?
I mean, I'm more of a momentum trader. Right. So, I've indicators that I made, right? And momentum indicators, basically. And that's what I do to catch the trend.
Do you feel like, because now one of the things on the internet with them this year is like him and Tom Dante competing and doing this Robin's Cup about who gets the better return at the end of the year. Something
the
that
ICT,
I,
yeah, dude?
Yeah, something that I think about is like, if you are trying to perform and get paid out, I think your year-end P&L might look different than a guy that's trying to slowly grow an account over the course of a year. What do you think about that?
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, if you're in a competition, you would, at a certain point, if somebody else has a big play, then you'd have to more than likely ante up, right?
Ante up.
Yeah.
But do you think that, like, if you're a trader who, what I'm trying to, I guess I should say it this way. If you're a trader who wants to really focus on getting paid out, should you maybe focus less on your total drawdown on the year versus the guy that is trying to put together a year-long track record and make it look good?
Right.
He would want that drawdown to be as little as possible.
Yeah.
Where, like, if you're like me, just a guy on the side at home trading, I'll take on 100% drawdown on some of these, like, of course, 10% drawdown, whatever, like the max is. I'll take on the max. I'll fail the challenge to pass the next one and then get paid out and make the money back. So what I'm kind of getting at is, like, I feel like it is different in the sense that, like, some of these guys are prop traders trying to get paid out from prop firms, but they're acting like traders who are like Ray Dalio trying to build a year-over-year track record. I kind of see them as different. Not to the point where Matt was saying on the podcast of, like, these guys that punt their accounts, but I do think you have to be aggressive with the challenges if you want to get paid out. You can't take a year to pass one funding challenge, I think.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I think that prop firm trading is, the way I see it, is like its own strategy. You need to have a strategy to pass the accounts. That might look different if you're trading your own capital,
right,
or
and
your
just
own
trying
money
to grow your own money over there.
Yeah, totally. So for sure, I think that, like, when you're trying to pass a challenge, then you can take on a little more risk, and, you know, unless you have another job or other ink, which you should. But, like, unless you're doing it more of a hobby or but if you're trying to make a career out of it, then, you know, you have to step up to the plate and play ball, you know. And, you know, I think it's a fine line between taking your time and also when the play presents itself.
Being aggressive. Yes.
You know, throwing the
ball. It is a fine line.
Yeah,
it's definitely
totally, for sure. So, no, that's an awesome question. And in terms of, like, what other people are doing – I actually posted about this not too long ago. Like, one of the best things that people can do is delete all their Telegram channels, all their Discords, leave, like, don't listen to a damn word that I say about the markets, or, like, you know, they hire a coach and that. But what I'm saying is, it's important that you find out your own strategy and what works for the trader themselves, rather than taking signals, rather than, like, paying attention to internet, YouTube beefs and whatever about which trading style works the
best.
But
it's much harder to do what you're saying. It's way easier to stay on Telegram, stay on the signals.
Well, because it seems like you're active and making progress, but really you're just kind of like
spinning your circles.
Yeah, and you're just like eating up the fodder.
Yes, literally.
You're not making any progress.
Not making progress, right.
So, yeah, I mean, I say, like, so for me, yeah, I mean, I really try to stay in my own lane about, you know, who I pay attention to. So, like, some dude's having a trade-off. Like, good luck. Right. I don't even care.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
It almost makes me feel. It's for the views. It's just to get.
For the views, 100%.
So when you're doing something for the views, what are you doing? What are you selling? That's all I want to know.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with actual trading. Like, what book are you selling me?
Right.
What event do you have coming up that you want to sell? That's what I always think.
Yeah, I mean, so that gets back to the reality show. You know, like, we talk about it at the start, like, so is it going to be like a reality show of what's going on with the Iowa caucus, or is it going to be reality show of which SMC trader is, like, going to box the I'm sure they'll be doing boxing matches soon, you know?
100%. Some of them have already asked me about being involved in that. I told them if they ever do a boxing match, because of my old job when I was an MC for bar mitzvah season, I said, listen, let me host it. I'll be the announcer
I'll
come out in a Speedo with candlesticks on it, and I'll host it in a Speedo, and I'll be like, all right, in this corner we got ICT, and in this corner we got whoever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And let them go at it. And honestly, it would be so entertaining.
It would be fun.
Does it have anything to do with trading?
No.
Zero. Big zero.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. So how much does the presidential election coming up this year influence your trading? Is that going to make an impact on strategy for you?
Well, the more I pay attention to it, then, you know, the worse my trading is.
Yeah, just taking up your time. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, totally, dude. Just watching, you know, scrolling on some bullshit on Instagram.
Do you even think that the president has an important role?
I'd like to think so, but probably not.
Same, bro. That is the same answer I give. I'd like to think so. I think the president lost a lot of his power when you look back to like JFK. I think
that's
JFK.
When everything changed. And then the Federal Reserve and. Yeah.
Took us off the gold standard in 71 Nixon. With Nixon. Yep. The Federal Reserve.
Really... That was it. That was the end. I mean, I'm a big Ron Paul fan. Yeah. And actually, I'll tell you who I'm a huge fan of is John McAfee.
Really?
Oh, dude.
Tell me why.
Man, I mean, it's such an interesting.
The late John McAfee, we have to say.
Yeah.
If you believe he's really dead.
Yeah. Well, I think he is.
You think he's dead?
Oh, yeah. They took him out for sure.
You think so?
Definitely.
He knew a lot.
I mean, so. When he made Norton Antivirus, right, and McAfee, you know, systems or whatever,
yeah,
their first contract was like the Defense Department.
So and that's what, and that's
so who he had, and who was the administration then? 90s,
Clinton.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they have all, he has all had all that information.
Yeah, bro,
dude.
So he knows a lot.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why he's like such a crazy guy. Like, it's just interesting. Of course, he ran for on. If you want to see an interesting speech, it was his closing argument when he ran under the on the Libertarian ticket.
I forgot that he ran.
Yeah, in 2016, dude. He's like, he actually like kind of halfway sobered up for it. Like
that thought alone, John McAfee sobers.
Oh yeah.
Did you see his interview with PBD?
Yeah.
Where the guy like, has the gun at the door, bro. Yeah, that's a
like,
crazy interview.
Knock on the door, and
dude gets the gun out.
Yeah, and PBD was like, it was one of the most intense, craziest interviews. But no, it's. Everything that's happening right now in terms of like surveillance and government overreach, he was talking about. So
back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah. An interesting thing is like his connection to that, like the condo deal in Miami.
Educate me. Don't know anything about what you're talking about. Tell us.
Okay. I don't know if this is true or not. So, but like, I think it is. There's a lot of dots. So supposedly, remember the, that condo that was like, collapsed?
Yes.
In Miami? Supposedly, and that happened like 2 days after he was
did it
suicided.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And apparently he had a dead man switch, which was like, you know what that is?
Yeah, where if he dies, this guy releases all the info.
Right. And so like, and apparently he
was in that building.
Well, he owned a condo there.
Really?
Yeah. And so then if you look that up, this almost confirms it more because then fact checkers are like, John McAfee did not own a condo. And
see, now this is where it gets tricky because it's like, yeah. Did the fact checker tell the truth?
Right.
No, or is yeah. the right now, how deep does this go?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that would be wild, yeah, bro, if so, they got him and the dead man switch at the same time.
Well, but or just like different, who knows what, you know, they ran up in there, took stuff, and right. then, of course, you know, whatever happened, that was super tragic. A lot of people
could be
died.
A coincidence, but there's also dots. This is the problem.
I don't think so, though, right?
Right.
Like, what I is mean, that? Like, how many condominiums just randomly collapsed?
None have collapsed since.
Well, what is it, Building 7?
Right. Well, that was back
that was
at
the other one.
That was way back in 2001.
Yeah, but so, you know, that was sus.
Yeah, that definitely is sus. Well, and that's what's interesting, too, right? Donald Trump even said when he was running against Joe Biden in the first election, he said, his comments about 9/11, and he was like, we don't really know what happened. And that threw the media into a huge frenzy. Just for the president to say, we don't really know what happened, threw them into a frenzy, which is just kind of like what you're saying is when the fact checkers say it didn't happen, it almost makes it seem like it did.
Oh,
so 100%. Him saying, oh, we don't know what happened, throws them into a tizzy. We don't know what happened. Right. Or we do, and you don't even want
to
be asking that
question.
Then
you have to just see who's behind the fact checkers, right. Which gets back to like WEF.
Right, who's paying for them. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think happened on 9/11? Do you really think it was an inside job fully? Because that's what everybody listening is probably going to assume you think. They think you believe that there was bombs planted in the building and it was a controlled demolition for both of them.
Well, I don't know what happened, but definitely not the
narrative.
Yeah,
I would agree. Definitely,
I
not
think
the
it was carried out by like you know different global intelligence.
Right. I don't think it was
in,
the US
in order
people.
To in order to further you know the agenda that's going on now.
Well, look at what happened after that.
Yeah, the Patriot Act.
Not just the Patriot Act, the war.
Yeah.
Over weapons of mass destruction
all, it,
that didn't
it all,
exist.
It all gets down to like military industrial exactly. complex yep. and, you know, why are we in Ukraine? Now, you know, the whole Middle East, and God, I mean, it's just a mess.
Even Yemen now, that's the new
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that happened like 2 days
no
ago.
No one's
that's
even
insane.
Talking about it. Right.
That is, they had like 3 million person march there against like the UK and the US.
Oh, yeah. Now we are making new enemies. That's what's going on now. We're going to other Middle Eastern countries that don't hate us enough yet, and we're going to go piss them off. That's what it seems like. That's what they want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we won't dig too deep into 9/11 if you don't want to.
Well, yeah, no. It's all good. I mean, I just
the only other thing I was going to say about it is like
– What do you think?
Well, I think that it was definitely not the United States hurting United States citizens. I don't believe that. Even though, yes, in the past we've put up ideas for the president to blow up a jetliner, so I don't believe that we would intentionally kill 3,000-something Americans. I do believe we would intentionally do a scenario that would lead to potentially something like that happening, but I think things spiraled out of control and organizations weren't speaking, and then this is just what ends up happening. Could those have been drone planes without real people in them, and they threw a plane into it with more explosives? Yes. Is that what happened? I don't know. Could there have been explosives in Building 7 because it looks like a controlled? Yes.
Definitely. Oh, well, that's a whole different story.
Whole different story. And when you look into, like, the guy that bought the insurance on the building and they got billions of dollars in the payout from that, so, like, you look into some of those details, it definitely could be.
What do you think about, like, the Defense Department being behind the mRNA and COVID vaccine?
What do I think about that? Well, only the other thing I would say is, like, I do think that a plane did not hit the Pentagon. I think a drone hit the Pentagon.
Yeah, you can't find any.
All of the security cameras, you can't just show me one of an airplane kind of coming down, like, yeah, near the Pentagon, like 20 minutes before it hits it? Nothing. Yeah. Got nothing. So that's why. And then when you do see video footage, it looks like it could be a drone.
Right.
You don't find any wreckage of an airplane.
Yeah.
There's no big engines or anything. So, like, again, it sounds so bad to question something that was so impactful on American history.
Yeah.
But if you don't question it, isn't it almost more ignorant than to question it at this point?
Well,
respectfully, I'm not insulting dead people. And you know what I mean?
Just saying, totally.
Why do you trust the first thing that they told you? So then to answer your question about the mRNA thing, I don't know if the military is behind, you know, trying to inject and hurt the Americans, if that's what you're saying. But I do think that money is what's behind the mRNA vaccine. I think it's big pharma.
Yeah.
I think Pfizer, Moderna, these companies have their grip. They're the reason we have the pill problems, bro.
Yeah.
They have their grip on America.
Yeah. No, so, that was exactly the point of my question, too, because, nice job on intercepting that.
I think a lot of people are starting to think that way.
Right.
Because
it's all connected.
It's all connected.
And so the money behind it, I would like to think the United States, which is separate than the people that are in charge.
Yes.
To me, the United States is actually like the Constitution itself and the idea that, you know, people can come here and be a drug addict and then, you know, get their stuff together and create, you know, a life for
business
them.
And employ people and make money.
Yeah.
No, that is the American dream.
Yeah.
It really is.
And it doesn't matter where you're from, you know, color.
Yes.
All that stuff. So.
What I'm more concerned with than the government and their mRNA vaccines is the government letting illegal people into our country that are not women and children. They're middle, you know, aged men that are military bodied people. That's way more concerning to me than a vaccine
terrifying.
That honestly, you still, for the most part, could have chosen to not get the vaccine. Would you have lost your job? Yes. But if you prided yourself on choice, you could have not gotten the vaccine. Like Djokovic, like myself.
Right.
I only had one COVID test my whole bout here. My wife has never been COVID tested. So some of us still had choice. You have no choice about these people coming over the border and then being shipped to the cities, like I said to you at the breakfast, that have outwardly said, we need more voters in this district. Put them here. That's why they're putting them in certain high schools. Like right now, there was a high school in New York that the school told the kids, stay home today. You have to learn virtually. What? We have to put people here. They're only going to keep them there this year, bro. After this election, those people will disperse. They'll leave the cities. But they're going to do their best to keep them in those districts that need the blue voters because the government thinks that if we let these people in, they'll vote for us. And we need extra support because they're scared of Donald Trump. That's what it's telling me. They are so scared of Donald Trump and the Republican Party that they would let 300,000 people a week come into this country illegally. So if you're that scared of Donald Trump, that should tell you how many people in this country support Donald Trump. Which is why when you talk about election fraud, I don't even need to talk to you about ballots. I'm just talking to you about moving bodies that could be voters to certain places to sway the election.
Yeah, and the thing is about that, what is, without going too deep on it, is that like because somebody commented on your page when you're talking about this, and they're like, oh, Austin, that's racist.
Stick
like,
to trading.
Yeah, for sure. And the thing is that like the places where they're sending those people in like Chicago or, you know, like New York and the kids can't even go to school. It's like inner city and mostly those are like minority groups that live there. So actual Americans that live there are being told to move out or they can't, you know.
How does it end, bro? Tell us how does it end? Do you think it ends in civil war?
No.
You don't think so?
No. I don't want to, like, just project that out there because it's too scary of a thought.
Of course it's scary. But
you know, like the movie that, you know, that came out?
It's coming out, yeah.
Predictive programming with that?
Well, there's another one coming out literally called Civil War. Where
yeah,
it's
that's
like,
the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So that one's coming, but they had the one Leave the World Behind with Obama producing it.
Yeah.
That was talking about, like, a power outage. And that movie made it very clear that Obama thinks black people hate white people. He, in that movie, I think he perpetuated more racism. That's the problem, too, is, like, the more we divide each other, the more likely it is that we end up in a civil war.
Well, it's because the flip side of that, as soon as everybody figures out that, like, we're all getting screwed and, like, the purpose is to divide us,
right.
If we could just come together, then that, you know, that power wouldn't be there. So, you know, divide and conquer. It's like the oldest trick in the book.
If you think about it, even DEI is a way to separate people. Separate
yeah,
the gays
for sure.
And the straights. Well,
if you get somebody so established to their identity, they'll hold on. What I've learned this from Matt a lot. You know, people will hold on to their identity because it's who they believe they are. So if you can subscribe to something and say, hey, this is who I am, then, you know, you will hold on to that because, like, if you take that away, they have to ask themselves, like, oh, fuck,
who am I?
Who am I? Which
right.
is, like, the hardest question to ask. So, like, when I was getting clean, I, you know, had to, you know, go to that place. And, you know, and so, like, the thing is they perpetuate this identity politics and everything else to try to get people so subscribed to that. So then, you know, of course, people will war with their family, just like it happened over, like, Thanksgiving and Christmas and, like, you know, people that got the jab and people that didn't.
It bothers me so much, bro. It bothers
me. Yeah, dude, it's tragic. I mean, it just complete manipulation. And that, just to circle it all back, is, like, why, you know, I feel like, you know, you have to speak up and then kind of plant some seeds along the way. But beyond that, it just the criteria we're being dealt right now. You know, maybe if it was the Middle Ages, then we'd be talking about, like, you know, raiders coming in.
Right, to be honest, I've had some scenarios in my life recently where I do wish it was the Middle Ages. Because back in the day, bro, if somebody pissed you off enough,
right,
just get rid of them.
Yeah, or at least you wouldn't be, like, sitting around the fire on your iPhone.
Right.
Literally. You know, with your family.
That'd be pathetic existence. Yeah. We've walked miles and miles,
that?
And now we're just going to sit here on our iPhone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, who would do something like that?
So let's do this, since I want to wrap this one
up.
And
yeah,
yeah,
group for
one.
Sure.
So for everybody listening and watching, we are going to do a group podcast here, filming it today, with Matt and Clay, which is going to be all about Top One. We got a little bit off of the trading, but that's okay.
We did.
That's okay.
We went a little crazy.
Clay is going to be back on the podcast. I wanted to just do this one today to kind of set the stage. We'll do another one, you and me, where we'll
yeah,
do maybe
totally.
More.
Let's do it.
That would
be
fun. We could do one where we do something. I have another studio we could use potentially, like an office space where we could do some trading and, like, have a screen up and do
some
charts.
Sick.
How you see a chart versus me. We could do some fun stuff like
that. Yeah, I love that idea, dude.
Let's rattle off a couple conspiracy theories for you so we can get your take on it.
Okay.
The UFO situation going on right now with all of these flying objects clearly being put on video.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Well, the thing that happened in Miami is pretty wild. I don't know what that was all about.
But again, I got no... How are you going to tell me there's 10-foot aliens in the Miami Mall, but I got no video of it?
Yeah.
Everybody's got a goddamn cell phone in their hand stuck to them at all times. Look, I can't even do a podcast without it being within reach.
Right. Supposedly, they're, like, taking those phones away, but I don't know.
Supposedly, the aliens make it so that you can't record them.
Oh, is that what they're
saying? I hear
saying?
A lot of things. Show me a goddamn video. So, all right, put the Miami situation aside.
Yeah.
Let's go real, because we got real video footage. David Fravor, Ryan Graves, all these guys that are Air Force pilots.
Yeah,
Navy
I mean,
people.
To me, it's obvious that, you know, there's...
Something's going on.
Well,
what is
no,
it?
To me, there's obvious that it's there's other life and it's not
okay. So you don't think it's the U.S. government? You think it's other life from another planet?
I think there is, but
so
you
think it's both?
I think it might be us in a lot of different ways.
Okay,
or different, you know, who knows? But
when
to me, with the UFO stuff, I don't even care because, like, our country's in such bad.
Yeah, like, fuck the UFOs.
Yeah, who cares?
Man? Right, they're not hurting us, bro.
We
got 300,000 illegals coming across the border. You're worried about a little ball flying in the air?
Yeah, and you got, like, Klaus Schwab talking about, like, the power
grid
going
down. Right, and, yeah, right.
And us eating, having to eat bugs and being happy about it. So to me, like, bring on the aliens. I think that they could probably run shit.
They might be able to help us out.
Dude, totally.
You want to hear something crazy? So this is an Alex Jones thing. He was like – or maybe it wasn't Alex Jones. It was somebody who was, like, on a podcast I was listening to. And he said – he was like, oh, no. It was Joe Rogan had Everlast, the guitar player, on his podcast years ago. And Everlast was talking about how, like, he got real high, went down this rabbit hole on YouTube. And he was talking – he finds this video. He's talking to his wife about it. This kid, world's smartest kid, predicts or makes the assumption that when the CERN large particle collider was turned on – something happened that knocked us into a parallel universe. Mm-hmm. And we are not in the same universe that we were in the 1990s and early 2000s. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Dude, the particle collider is crazy.
What do you think about it?
I don't know
much
about it.
It's the biggest machine in the world.
Yeah, I think I think that is probably at the center of what's going on, something about it, but I don't even really know.
I'm a big believer in this. I think where I get most conspiratorial is in alternative energy. Because I think,
or like Tesla and stuff.
Yeah, because I think oil, like the oil industry, has its grip on the world.
Totally,
right,
for sure.
And if you disrupt them, they will crush you.
Yep.
And there's a lot of videos
now. Same thing with Big Pharma.
Exactly. And there's a lot of videos now of these guys building off-grid energy that they plug into the earth and generate power for their farm or for whatever. And these inventors will get blacklisted, where either the company will come in and buy them out and they put their invention on a shelf, or they'll sue them for patent infringement or whatever it may be to try to shut these inventors up. But it's becoming like, if you YouTube, you'll like this.
Right.
Thunderstorm generator.
Okay.
It has something to do with the plasma that a thunderstorm can generate, and using that plasma to basically, in simple terms, you turn on the generator with this plasma and it never has to turn off. There's no wires. It's wireless free energy that comes from the quantum. So right. Something that I think has something to do with the CERN particle collider,
yeah,
where they're doing something at this microscopic level that we've never encountered. Because go back into the Middle Ages. What was the smallest thing we could study with a microscope, if we even had them at that point?
Right.
And think about how over time we're going smaller and smaller. Now we got quarks and these things that are so, so small you can't even see it with your eye.
Yeah.
Right? So we can keep learning and finding out information. I think people forget that. I think people think a lot of the time that we have figured it all out.
And we think we're at the top. Right, right, of like that, but like the thing is like you have the pyramids, you have like different
things that we can't explain.
Right. So like I was in Peru, right, and cool. So actually I was going to go Machu Picchu, and they actually closed it down before COVID.
Oh,
but
sucks.
There's all these other like Incan ruins and stuff, and these stones were like the size of this room that were like laser cut.
Yep.
But they said what they did is like the Incans who like, dude, I'm like LeBron James when I go there.
Right, because they're very small people.
Right.
Yeah.
So they took the granite out of one side of this ravine, like took trees basically and turned them into roller logs and then rolled them down the ravine to the other
side. I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah, exactly. And then like, so I'm like looking around at all these, all the people on the tour like, wow, that's so interesting. I was just like.
Right. See, I can't go on those tours, bro. Right. If I go on those tours, I'm the one that's a shit starter.
Yeah,
the tour guide hates me at the end of it,
bro. The tour guide, I was like, he was like, yes, sir. I was like, so what about the possibility? And he was like, oh, the alien guy.
Yep, yep.
I knew there's always an alien guy.
Of course.
And then, like, everybody on the tour were, like, pointing at me and laughing. Like,
but isn't that
being ridiculous.
Just for questioning it.
Yeah, and it's like, you mean to tell me that, like, they actually did this in whatever year it was without any type of, like, super, super advanced technology? Same thing with, Egypt and the pyramids.
I think that's all older than they tell us. They're clearly lying about the timeline.
Yeah.
Graham Hancock and all these people have put out so much research.
Oh, man. His show on Netflix is
He's
awesome.
One of my favorite people
cool
to
guy.
Study. Because again,
his,
like
when he's on Rogan, those are awesome episodes.
They are. And this is good because it ties it into trading. Like when you get into trading, a lot of people, I think, will talk down on it. They don't believe on it, kind of like what me and Matt spoke about. Well, what's the same thing with Graham Hancock? He wrote a book in 1995 that people said was all bullshit.
Right.
15 years it took for every single thing in that book to basically become proven fact with geology and hard evidence.
Right.
It took 15, 20 years for people to finally believe that what he was saying was legit.
Right.
So think about the conviction that he must have through those years of being ridiculed to now come out and get his big bag on his Netflix
right.
show. And it's good. It's,
or like David Icke.
Same thing.
Yeah.
David's a little more crazy.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But Graham like would say things
right.
that were then proven over and yeah. over. So think about that type of conviction. I think for traders, we have to have that type of self-belief and conviction
Dude,
in ourselves.
For sure.
That's why I love this shit so much, yeah. because it's questioning the narrative
yeah.
and then using real evidence, no matter how long it takes to figure it out, to prove it.
And whatever you do, like, don't go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next. If you like the smart money stuff, then stick with that.
Because 15 years of smart money, you'll be really
become
good.
Become a pro at running that play, right? So for me, I started to have success with the pullbacks on trading. And then just really like started to create my system and indicators just to really help me identify that actual play itself. So like if you are determined enough, whether you're wanted to prop trade or whatever else or all of the above, I think you should because of the upside potential that you can. Just don't get discouraged or think you're a piece of shit or whatever because you fail a challenge, because it's a part of the learning process, and it's super, super, super hard, you know? So, like, dude.
I think that's a great place to put a pin in it.
Yeah, that works.
This was a quick hour, wasn't it?
Oh, dude, I could do this all day.
I know. That's why we got to do another one. But this has been really good.
Yep.
So for everybody that wants to connect with you, Clay, Instagram?
Instagram, Clay B. Hodges and clay.b.hodges. There's other, like, scam accounts that isn't me, so make sure it's, like, the verified one.
Yeah.
And also on my YouTube, which I'm rebranding, Clay B. Hodges, so it's all uniform with my name. And then, of course, anything with Top One.
Good.
Yeah.
Love it. All right, friends. We're going to put a pin in it. Like I said, I'm going to sit down with both of the guys. Now we're going to have Matt and Clay come in. So make sure you guys tune into that episode. We're going to have that either come out a couple of days or whatever after this one, probably. It'll be up on the Day Trading Show wherever you guys are listening, watching. Just make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss any future episodes. And I will remind you, although you probably heard at the beginning of the episode, you can use the code ASFX with Top One to get 20% off any funding challenge, and you can use that discount code multiple times. Just do me a favor, use the affiliate link down in the description wherever you're listening or watching. That's how these guys know that we're giving credit to ASFX. So we appreciate you guys as our listeners so, so much. Can't wait for the next one. Make sure you're subscribed, and we'll see you there.